Welcome back to another episode of the Syncretist Society, everyone. I'm Alex Corey, and joined as always with Danielle Rodenroth. Apologies if we look a little off. We're still feeling the after effects of a class we just did on the Syncretist Initiation, where we were walk through the release technique. We will have some information on that below, and it will be featured in the Syncretist Society course shortly, but it was a fairly emotional, mind-blowing process in all of 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Going through lots of stored bodily energy, emotional processes, negative and positive emotions, little everything. So we're still a little buzzy from that. Yeah. If you do notice something, today's episode is going to be on the codes of attraction as part of our relationship series that we'll be starting.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did have an awesome release technique class, and it was really profound. Yeah. So I think we're in a good space to kind of be clear and just come from this other space of just beingness and all that. And we've been wanting to talk more about relationship dynamics, especially with what's going on in the transits and the programs right now, with the eclipses and the nodes and everything that's happening. You know, relationships are a big theme for everyone. Right. And so we're all dealing with this throughout our lives in general. So it'd be good to chat about that. So what makes you attracted to someone, or specifically, like, why do we get into relationships, and how can we explain that in the way of the codes and mechanics and our chemistry, all of that? Because I find that really interesting to look at these life processes in our genetics, right? And how that really pulls us to other things. So we understand that all of us have different codes, different genetics, different mechanisms, different openness to where we have, you know, these areas that we're receiving more specifically from others. And that the things that we have defined as ourselves, our own mechanics, right? Our gates, literally, I had this realization the other day, a gate opening, right? It's like a gate opening for that information and code to express itself more. But when we are interacting with people, or even in a relationship, whatever the role of that person is in your life, there's always going to be a specific type of dynamic. And this is what causes our differences in relationships and how we relate to each other, because there's so many different combinations of how we can link up. And almost if you put your chart, your codes, who you are, and the other person's like right on top of each other, you would see where the differences are, where the colored in stuff that maybe that person has that you don't have, or different gates, genetics that link up to each other. One person has one gate, the other person has the other. Mm-hmm. And this really explains a lot about what we are attracted to and the point of genetics, right? Which the only goal of our genetics is to make more,
right?
It's about keeping the species alive, and our genetics are pulled to diversity or pulled to what we're not,
right?
So the attraction, the even connection and chemistry is actually when either things like link up, like we didn't have this piece and the other person had that gate, part of a channel, and we had the other gate, and together we create this new force field,
magnetism.
Yeah. And so we actually, when we're in a not self, when we're in distortion and illusion, you know, we're really attracted to certain things, and also past traumas, past patterns, all of that comes into it. But we want to identify this because most of the time we're getting into not self relationships, and it homogenizes us, right? So two people in a not self relationship end up over time trying to change each other. Don't do this, don't do that, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like how they are with this thing. So sure, there is an importance of laying boundaries and communication, but if we don't have this basis of understanding of, well, this is how this person operates in this way, and I can see why I have a problem with it because they have the full channel and I have part of it, right? This is what we call a compromise. So there's four different things in relationships when it comes to like relationship mechanics with regards to the gates and channels. So a compromise is that thing that rubs you the wrong way, right? It's like your skin's getting red and irritated. It's like, oh, it's always like kind of irritating. And that's when either you have the full channel and your partner, friend, whoever it is, has only part of it, or you only have the one part of it. Because a full channel is the genetics not seeking the other half. So if you're the person that has the other half, it's like, wait, why isn't that genetic? Like, I'm trying to get the, you know.
Yeah, you're reaching, but there's nothing to attach it to.
Right, yeah. Right. So we call it a compromise, which for the person with the half, they're always going to feel like whatever that full channel's purpose is, that it could be difficult or that they can't, get that point across, or, oh, why don't they ever understand this thing, or they don't get this thing. And then for the person with the full channel, and that other person only has the half, it's like, would you quit doing that?
You know? Yeah, stop harping on it. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. So when we understand these certain aspects as we enter into relationships correctly, because that's always the first thing, is did you enter into the relationship according to your design? So again, if you're a projector, were you formally and politely invited into the relationship? For a generator, were you also asked and are you responding to get into that relationship? If you're a manifestor, did you initiate the relationship, right? Which could be difficult if you're, you know, following assumptions for societal norms and you're a woman,
right?
It's like, oh,
waiting for a guy to ask you,
should I initiate this? You know, for a reflector, did you wait your lunar cycle and are you following your surprise? And just processing in the way that you do with the sampling and tasting of the auras and knowing yourself, right? So that's like a basic first step of getting into a relationship correctly. There are some other terms that we talk about with relationships, really not like laws or absolute things that have to happen, but there are more compatible matches than others. I'm going to get back to those four things in a minute. We talked about the compromise. But one of the first ones is type with type, right? So we do not use the charts to determine if we should be with people.
I was going to say that sounds fairly deterministic and non-organic.
Yeah, you don't want to do that because, again, you're taking yourself out of your authority. Right. You're giving something else an external authority over you and like determining based on that. Which is not correct, right? You only really use the charts and understanding for relationships once you have decided and you're like, okay, I'm in this relationship. I entered into it correctly according to my type. My authority said yes. And now I can look at the chart coming from myself being whole and in my authority. And now I can see how to communicate better around the differences and the other things we're going to talk about. So that's what we use it for. So if you're dating someone and you're not sure, don't just go pull their chart.
Uh-huh.
And be like, well, you're a manifestor and I'm a generator. This isn't going to work.
You know? So I could see a lot of, just on numbers, a lot of generators and generators that might happen by chance because the population is just greater.
Yeah.
And then projectors probably, right? Because that's 20-something percent. Yeah. So those two are probably more likely to get it right by dumb luck, maybe, if you would say that. But reflectors would be difficult.
Yep. And it's not always type with type. They just say that because if you think about why, right, your aura, your vehicle, the way you process your existence according to your type is the way that you process, the way you make decisions, the way that you experience. And so if you have someone else that also experiences that way, there's already some sort of harmony there. Whereas, for example, a manifestor and a generator, right? Manifestor operates completely opposite, right? It's like repelling, it's pushing forward, it's initiating, coming from the inside out, not responding. And for the generator, it's like waiting to be asked, responding, generating and building, right? Not just like plowing through. There are two different ways of being. And if people that are, you know, in your relationships and you don't know this about yourselves, then we're going to experience the not self energy signature, okay, of that person. So for example, the manifestor and generator. We know that for a manifestor, the not self is anger, right? For the generator, it's frustration. So the generator will feel angry towards the manifestor if the manifestor is not informing, if they're not, you know, embodying that peace energy and inclusion and courtesy and all of that that we talk about for manifestors.
Just plowing ahead.
Yeah. Just doing impacting without right. letting us know.
Yeah.
You know, that can include a lot of boundary stepping over and all that. So the generator might feel the anger being with a manifestor, and the manifestor can be really frustrated with the generator, right? So we can feel these not self energy signatures. Even if you have kids, if you have a reflector, you might feel disappointed. And they might feel, if you're a generator, frustrated with you as their mom or whatever it is. So it's not always type with type, but that's already going to give you a good foundation,
right?
Because you're processing your existence in a similar way to your partner. So I'm a generator. Alex is a projector here. I would not, and I've said this before, and I probably can't say this because I have an undefined Ajna, so I can't be like, oh, I'm certain, because my undefined Ajna. Mm-hmm. But for me, like personally, I would not want to date a manifestor because I'm a generator, right? Because I understand how I operate and how like being enveloped is really important to me and all of my particular codes doesn't mean that it won't happen,
right?
Because no choice, right? Like I don't have a choice. We can end up in relationships that even seem terrible or whatever the case may be, and it could still be correct for us if we entered into it correctly because we needed to get some sort of experience or awareness or whatever we needed to get out of it.
So is correct because a lesson needed to be learned, or what does correct mean in that dynamic of interpersonal relationships?
Yeah, so there's like, we can't even know like what that would imply. You know what I mean? We only know that, did I enter correctly and follow my authority?
Right.
And if I did, doesn't matter how the relationship turned out, like that situation was correct for me. Maybe I was intended to meet this other person or this friend or this business partner or this from that, you know what
okay.
I mean? That fractal line, that timeline,
yeah.
Right? So we don't always know. But one thing that I always say when, if we have missed our authority in this process, we know that we're in a not self relationship. There are ways that you can tell by how much are you able to be your full self? Right? Are you really feeling like homogenized down? You can't be in your own authority. Most relationships end up being emotional relationships because normally there's at least one person, not always, but at least one person that has either the emotional solar plexus defined or you guys created together
because
you had certain gates for it, because more than 50% of people have the solar plexus. So most relationships end up being ruled by the emotional authority, right? So the wave of the relationship is going up and down and up and down. And that's really tricky for knowing like, okay, should I get into this relationship? Should I get out of this relationship? Should I stay? Should I go? Like what's happening? Whether or not you're emotionally defined or open. So the emotional aspect of it is a factor.
This gives the term red flags so many more definitions.
Because
people always now, because people are more aware of how past traumas impact new relationships, or people exchange red flags at the beginning now, or they have since, you know, last 5 years, but that gives a whole nother series of layers to go over. Red flags almost might not mean anything at that point because they're usually past conditioned things. So if you've had trouble with listening, or could that have been impacted by a not self relationship? So maybe your red flags that you've had prior have nothing to do with your current full true self.
Yeah, exactly. And we carry the relationships with us for at least 7 years.
Right.
You know, even after we're out of it, like that energy, that cycle, that pattern, all of that sort of trauma and whatever story we embedded from the ending, you know, it can take a while to heal unless you can take this approach, which this is what we understand about relationships, is nothing's personal. It's genetic, it's code, it's mechanism. And your role in every relationship is to be able to stand in your full self, like, no matter what, right? To have those communications, be honest, be transparent. How much of your full self can you be in this relationship? This is where we're going as a species, because we've talked a little bit about the mutation. I know I'm jumping all over the place. Awesome. But we did talk about the mutation, and there are a lot of things changing with regards to the stability and foundations of relationships in general, and even like sexual things and all of that. But we're moving more from, you know, this space of make more to awakened partnership, right? And that's what the beauty of knowing what your specific codes are, what your partner's codes are, and how to communicate based on these placements that you keep having awareness of, right? So rather than being like, oh, don't do that, I don't like that, well, now both people can maybe have an understanding of how it operates. You have words now to identify what it is, because it's not just a vague thing that, oh, I don't know what's happening.
Right.
If
you don't know the mutation we're talking of, I'll put a link below, but for anyone listening to the podcast, audio only, it's episode 7. So it was the one the one we did last week of April. That explains a lot about the coming mutation in 2027.
Yeah.
What we're going over now. The thing that pops into my mind whenever if you say it's not personal, you'd think that an interpersonal, especially romantic relationship, would be the most personal thing.
Yeah.
So even when people end relationships, they say it's not personal.
Right.
It's extremely difficult to accept that at face value, because it is the most personal thing that you can enter into, because your lives are entwining. But how do you get around the feeling of kind of it being cold if you're just working off of codes and dynamic? And I get what you're saying, but wouldn't that feel a little bit cold?
Well, here's the thing. You still have all the emotions. Yeah. You still have all the feelings. It's a time to like work through all the trauma too, and like the not self stuff. But that's the whole thing. We know that like the not self, the distortion, the story, the drama, all of that crap that the mind comes up with, it doesn't go away just because you know this, right? So instead of going into that though and like really feeding it and being like, well, they're not doing this because I'm not good enough,
right?
Or whatever the thing is, they're doing this on purpose to me or whatever. We can look at this now and see that it's coming up and communicate to that person, or have a greater understanding of like what we need, and not take it personal from them. Like, they're doing something to me, or this isn't fair, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to do this,
right?
Especially if you don't have practice.
Right.
Because when you're like in that emotional space, you have to watch what the mind is telling you about it, right? Like what victim state it's going into, because it's going to do that.
Yeah.
It's going to try to find the blame, shame, or guilt and put it on, well, they need to be doing this, or I'm not standing up for myself enough and I need to do this or that. And yeah, a lot of times we just need to communicate a boundary or just communicate about what's going on.
Yep.
And that can help us feel better too.
So I can see this being a large area of an itch for tendencies that our partners are going to have, that we're like, you really need to work on this, where they really might not, if that is actually them.
Right.
In their full self. So if you come up against something the other person does that just drives you nuts, or a character, what you would call a character flaw that might just be them.
Yeah.
That's probably a big one. Something that just drives you bananas. How is that one of the signs early on that might not be correct?
Well, no, because again, you have to follow your authority,
right?
So if your authority got you into the relationship and your strategy and all of that, and it's correct, and you know, you have to find, you also have to exit the relationship correctly according to your strategy and authority also, which exiting relationships is as important, but the compromises or the issues, the dominances, the different dynamics that we love hate can show up early on. But what I always see is that one person plus another person creates a pattern.
Right.
This pattern continues on throughout the years of the relationship into different areas as well, because it's just the dynamics, the geometry and all of that. So it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, this isn't correct for me. But when especially you're getting first into this, of course, the checklist. Was I asked if I'm a generator, projector? You know, strategy, authority. Then look at your white centers, right? Your not self, because these are the things as well that your partner can be, they are conditioning you on and influencing you on, that you need to constantly have awareness of, which can be a ton of wisdom.
Right.
Right? You get so much from the relationship. Learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you have to be careful you're not getting addicted to it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, and they say this especially for like projector and generator relationships, because of that sacral, addiction almost, you know, even though, you know, it drains you or whatever.
Or that can still be addicting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or even someone who's undefined emotionally and in an emotional relationship. And even though it's toxic and it's up and down, there's some sort of almost addiction to that.
Yeah. You can feel the interplay of chemistry.
Yeah.
What you don't have yourself,
yes,
but you don't need to have yourself.
And,
right. So that would be the, when you first explained that to me last week, I was like, oh, this is going to sound like soulmates.
Yeah.
If you find someone that literally fills all of your missing pieces.
Yep. And that actually is not ideal.
Right.
So
that's the
we call
part.
Them, I was talking about the four like components. One of them was the compromise, right? Where someone has the full genetic force field, the channel. And other personally has one half of it. The electromagnetic connection, this is actually what we feel chemistry with people. And maybe they have some centers that we don't have. But, oh, this person has the other end of my channel. This is love, hate. And it's not actually, you might love it in the beginning. And then later it's like, God, that's so annoying. Because it's just one very fixed, you know, angle of the way that that information, the way that that code is going to express. So that's great for learning. That's great for awareness. Mm-hmm. It is a connection. Sometimes though, it's that hate side, like, oh, I hate how you do that. That's annoying. You know, why do you do that? But again, if we have the information and we know ourselves and we know that nothing's personal, we can just watch it and be like, wow, it's interesting that that's how that code expresses or how my code expresses. And now we have understanding of it. Now we can share it. Now we understand like things that we don't have. The white stuff in our chart, the things that we don't have, are the only places of learning.
Right.
Right. It's the only place of wisdom because that's where we meet the other. We meet the world. Right. So the electromagnetic connections, I used to think that too. Like, oh, cool. I have five connections. Well,
that's what it sounds like on surface level.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just people fitting into your missing puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
We're unlocking certain pieces within you. Or I'd be surprised if at a cellular level, your microbiome wasn't involved somewhere in there.
Just
because usually whenever people feel some sort of chemistry, it's actually either hormones exchanging or think of like plant pheromones or animal pheromones. Your microbiome is communicating and trying to figure out if that other person is a good survival match and looking for like genetic defects that give off certain chemical messages.
Right.
You get feelings around other people. And a lot of those is A, their electromagnetic energy. So that's heart frequency. And the other half of that is they literally have a cloud around them of their microbiome expression. So you're exchanging biological raw information. So women can pick this up way more easily because the consequences of choosing incorrectly are way more drastic.
Yeah.
So women have that immediate yes or no, usually. Like there's a saying that you'll know within 30 seconds of meeting.
Unless you're emotional authority.
Don't listen to this part. But that's the thing. And that's what it's going off of.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of raw biological information. But I'd be curious if that, not with the microbiome, because that's not technically you, but if with your genetics, if that's what's at the base of those
well,
codes.
It is interesting because the base of all the codes are also the codons.
Right.
And like the amino acids and just like how they function. You know, so like the 19, mm-hmm. as an example, is histidine, and it's the skin and the nails and the hair, and it's touch and sensitivity. So I wonder if that would be giving off like a...
Everything.
Because like maybe they touch someone and then they can feel different things. I have this code, and I know that my touch receptors actually like change.
Yeah.
Maybe they change with certain situations, or depending on, maybe I'm receiving something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that person at a different day, and so it feels different. Sometimes it can be really irritating, but I love touch. Like I love all of that. So yeah, maybe that might have part of it too.
It's hard to decipher what your mind's doing and then what your body is telling you to break them apart, because usually we let our mind decipher everything, but the body has way more information.
Yeah,
like you said, that's your raw expression coming through without filtration.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why too, like, if you know your white centers, because they all, everything correlates to like a biological function too in the body. So if you're like emotional authority, let's say it's the nervous system, it's the bladder, it's a lot of these different systems in the body that you can feel, you know. And then say you are open spleen, right? That's the immune system. It's the fight or flight. It's the instinct. It's the actual spleen,
right?
The lymph, all of that. So if you're undefined in your splenic system, you also might have a tendency to stay in a relationship that's not correct longer, or more tendency to do that, because the spleen is all about survival.
Yeah.
And so if you have it undefined and then now your partner has it and they have it defined and everything, now you feel like this false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sayings is that like sometimes people with an undefined spleen ignore all the red flags.
Interesting. Because it's, you're feeling that pure survival. They provide that sense of safety and comfort, even though everything else is screaming, get out.
Yeah. It's like conditioning and just all of that, like
the devil you know. Yeah. So you know how to operate in that environment, even though it's tearing you down in all other aspects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So one of the third ones, since we talked about the compromises, the electromagnetic connections, and we were talking about like the soulmates and all of that, actually what we're kind of moving towards is this awakened relationship and all of that. Yes, if we're with someone that's completely different codically, I don't know if that's a word, but
just now.
You know what I mean? then, you know, we can use that with them and learn from that. But one of the other things is companion channels,
mm-hmm.
where like, okay, I have the 2838, they also have the 2838, right? So you guys have the same channels, maybe some of the same gates.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're not seeking this or trying to find that, but it's kind of cool when you look at your charts together, you're like, oh, cool, we have, you know, this might be why we're also really good friends,
right?
And we're, you know, all of that. But there is so much in regards to relationships and charts.
That's why it's part one.
Part one.
Yeah, just an overview.
Yeah. So, and then another one is dominance. Okay. So dominance is where somebody has the full channel and you don't have any part of the channel. This can be really comforting, because it's like, ah, all of a sudden this energy is here, this force field, this, you know, pathway, depending on the circuitry. Circuitry is like a flow throughout the chart. Like when you look at a chart, it looks like a battery.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all these circuits that go through. And we'll be doing classes and calls on that too soon. But depending on the circuitry, you know, that dominance might make you feel more comfortable in a marriage or a relationship or whatever it is. For example, the 4037, which is the channel community, and it's all about family and relationships and marriage and divorce and all of that stuff. So depending on like the role of that channel, and that other person has that full channel, now you kind of like settle into that for better or worse.
Right.
You know?
Every time delving this deep into just the interpersonal codes, I always think of our parents' generation or even before them, when you would just meet someone and just go with it.
Right.
Because they were there and you both wanted a family. And I wonder how many get lucky, and in your experience, how many people end up with someone who is healthy, in a healthy relationship?
Well, I mean, I think it takes at least one person
in
the relationship to be working on their not self, like kind of integrating it and accepting it. And because we've talked about conditioning, because that's when it becomes unhealthy, is when like you're both conditioning each other and homogenizing each other.
Right.
But if at least one person is not trying to always exert this influence consciously, even though the codes are also doing it, but trying to encourage the other person to be themselves, and setting up boundaries, right? Not just getting walked over, you know, but it is interesting because in our parents' generation and before, and like we think about it, our species has come from these global programs of, oh my God, have you heard these people have been together for 40 years and we applaud them. We're like, wow.
It is impressive when that happens.
It is. But that programming is also like distortion, because so many people stay in relationships that are just like horrible and just like, this is okay. Some people literally have the codes to get together just to bring in an offspring and then separate.
And that's a lot of people.
But a lot of people too, yes. But a lot of people might not know that.
Right.
Oh, but we got to stay together for the kid and we got to do this and that. But it's like, actually, the codes have a different, you know, idea of where you're going.
Right.
With all this. So it is hard to judge anyone else's relationship.
Yeah.
But.
Always.
You know, yeah. You know, how's your health? How much are you really being yourself? Did you follow your strategy and authority? And even if it's a terrible situation, like how much are you learning that, and none of this determines whether or not you should get out of it. But with your authority and with your strategy, you'll know at that point how to exit the relationship and when. But these are some things that like I pay attention to that helps me to be more in my own authority. Like, okay, I need to communicate more. I'm experimenting with this process and even things that we think are bad can lead to a lot of evolution.
I was going to say, I can think of a lot of potentially not abusive, but things that might be interpreted as mild abuse being massive learning experiences. I don't know where the line is for that, though.
Yeah. So
communication and boundaries play a huge part there, but in the world of microaggressions, I don't know where the difference between a lesson learned for wisdom for growth would be interpreted, and then potential abuse would come.
Oh yeah. Right. Well, and that brings up like narcissism and like psychopathy and sociopaths and all of that, which I've had my fair share of. That's actually what originated me on this journey even to begin with, you know, back in the day, because I was dealing with a lot of stuff with dealing with these energies and learned a lot about psychology and then got into all this stuff.
Right.
But over the years, I've kind of progressed my understanding of narcissism. And I have a couple of theories, but I do believe that it's a very specific code combination.
Right. I was going to say, are there narcissistic pathways that people should not work on because they are them, but they have to be dealt with a certain way? Does that exist?
Yeah, I mean, so if we're not correct, if we're not in our true alignment, if we're not in our authority, and basically our colored and defined areas can get distorted, or we can be manipulative or operating out of a way that's like not really the truth. But then there is also like codes even for like killing, like murder and stuff like that, which there have been times in our history of being humans that we needed people that were like capable of that.
Right.
you know, not saying that that needs to be allowed or anything like that, but it's all in our codes, right? Even in human design, we refer to the term of like the killer monkey, like we are the killer monkeys. But just basically meaning that we, even though we have all this information, this heightened intellect and spread of information on the planet, mm-hmm. we're still like genetically having these like animalistic
yep.
properties and all of that. So yeah, I mean, there's codes that can imply that this person might be a liar, but really they could be an actor, or they could be, right. You know, experimenting with different theories rather than just using that code in a way to be egoic in the sense that we think of ego,
right.
which is like, I'm going to take for me and not give to the rest, you know, and kind of be like in it for themselves.
Yeah, we always think of the most destructive and pathological angles of
right.
each thing, but they can be used for pragmatic purposes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like having a smooth talker or a con man is useful if you're trying to convince a group of people. Doesn't have to be on the detriment. It
right.
can be for trying to convince or convey the message to a group of people. Some people
right.
are charismatic, and usually we only see the or focus on the pathological aspects because they do the most damage.
Yeah.
But that might just be distortion. Or
yep.
if people are misinterpreting them or not listening to them, etc. So it's all contextual, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah, definitely. And like there is like a lot of codes, like the 59, which is like about transparency,
mm-hmm.
but in the shadow it's dishonesty.
Right.
You know, so it can come up in these different ways. Yeah, and that's why, like, even in the gene keys, we talk about, like, the shadows, and it always comes to victim consciousness,
yeah.
which, again, if we're in our own authority and we are operating in this way of, like, no choice, no blame, shame, or guilt, then we're not going to go into this, like, victimhood, or when we do, we can integrate and bring awareness to it, but in the gene keys, the shadow of the victimhood is either victimizing,
mm-hmm.
right? We express outwardly and reactively and victimize, or we become the victim.
Right.
And we're all always doing this. So this is part of this process that we're in as like an evolutionary species that is learning to accept like all things, and especially as all the light is coming forward, right? Bringing this stuff out of the darkness,
yeah.
you know, being transparent, even with the things that we feel uncomfortable with or that we normally wouldn't share with people or whatever it is, because that is the liberation
mm-hmm.
of this entire process of being human. Like, how much can you be your full self? Why are we like limiting ourselves to, oh, I'm not going to say that, or I'm not going to share that, or because we don't accept it about ourselves, or
right.
we're trying to hide it because we think that that person will whatever. And so we do like these manipulative, secretive, back, you know, whatever.
Trying to avoid anticipated consequences that might or might not be real. Or, right, and it also depends on how open people you hang out with are.
Yeah.
So the more you know about this type of information, or the more work you've done on yourself, or been exposed mm-hmm. to it, or just are curious at all, as long as there's no judgment, right, it's always better to express what you're going through than
right.
let it. It'll get expressed one way or another. If it's underhanded, sneaky, malicious, some way, it's always better to be have it out in the open.
Yeah, absolutely. So especially if you have any of these like dominance channels, compromises, anything, that is one way that we can work with all this information. It's like now you can communicate in a way that's not blaming, shaming, or guilting them or yourself. Now it's just like, okay, I have the 50 and that person has the 50-27. It's all about nurturing and caring. And maybe there's an issue with responsibilities or the caring and the selfishness, selflessness binary. So now we can talk about it. I'm feeling like I'm taking on responsibilities that are not mine because I have a, you know, you can start to communicate in a way that actually brings awareness
yep.
to everybody.
More awareness, more transparency. As it's getting harder to hide things anyway, like you said, things are being pulled from the darkness to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And that creates a whole bunch of anxiety and melancholy itself, but it has to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always has to happen to move forward.
Definitely.
As the Wheel Turns.
Yeah.
I think that was a soap opera my grandma's.
As the Wheel Turns.
Yeah, something like that.
Probably. It sounds like it could be. But yeah, even if your partner or it's like a parent or a child or whoever doesn't care about this information or they don't want to know or they don't want to look into it or whatever the case may be, if you still know their charts or even if you don't, you can communicate with them in different ways. And, you know, I do this with my parents. They don't really know this information,
right?
But it has improved my relationship because I know where the energy, compromises are and, where there's connection and things like that. So I actually use specific words,
right,
that can, like, for example, my dad's a manifestor. I'm a generator, which is interesting. With that dynamic growing up, my dad's a great person. I love him to death. And, but we have had some issues with like our closeness, like over the years, and things like that. But he has the 31-7, which is the channel of the Alpha, right? And his whole chart is all about, you know, being kind of like inventive and, being a manifestor, right? Initiating. He's done all these things. He was like an Air Force pilot and all of this stuff. But I have the 31, which is the gate of influence. So he has the channel of the Alpha, the 31, the gate of influence, and the 7, which is the army, the gathering and organizing to influence, right? It's the channel leadership and all of that. And I have part of it as part of my cross, right? It's like a big part of my chart. Now I see why my dad had that. Because I had to grow up as well with, because the 31 is all about influence and like leading when invited. It's a projected channel. So I had to learn a lot about how to influence, what that means, all of that. But with my dad, I'll even tell him like, hey, I'm not trying to influence you, but have you heard about this or that?
Interesting. Okay.
Or I'll say, you know, I don't really approach him much because he's a manifestor. So I kind of let him come to me. But when there is an opportunity, I'll say things like, oh, I'm not trying to lead, you know, because anytime I would try to bring something to my dad, there's already this difference of type, right? Manifestors repelling. They really don't like being approached, right? It's already kind of like resistance because they're not meant to do that. Right. So, and then when I'd be like, hey, you know, let's talk about using corn oil because it's not good.
You just have to frame things instead of just being either direct or how you would normally approach a friend or someone else. You just have to frame things a little differently just so there's, it doesn't feel like you're attempting to influence.
Yes. And also realizing that my attempt at influencing my dad is distortion because my 31 was always trying to do that because I felt like because my genetics was trying to do that and I kept bumping up against it. So now maybe not even trying to tell him about the soybean oil and how coconut oil is better to cook with. You know?
How long did it take you to realize that and then to change the phrasing?
I mean, once I was really into all this information, you know, and starting to look at my parents' charts and, you know, kind of playing around with this and realizing where I'm creating an interesting dynamic that may be coming from my not self, you know, and kind of seeing that like, oh, we always fight about this stuff.
Yep.
There's always like a pain, childhood wound around these things, right? That like, it's always like this. And I've been able to really process that for myself and then also like change how, like, okay, I'm not going to approach him anymore about the coconut oil, you know, and like, whatever. Now they've got coconut on their house, but I'm not, you know, it's like, where did that coconut oil
come from? So you have that heightened awareness and pattern detection to start. So just to be able to see where the confrontation was happening, where the work could take place.
Yeah.
Any of that. So you ahead of the game just by being aware of it.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. Some people, we might not know what exactly the issue is. And I didn't either. Like with my dad, I didn't realize, oh, he always feels like I'm influencing him, even though I'm just trying to share and be like, dad, look, like soybean oil, it like denatures and it's bad.
That's probably
and,
a lot of people,
you know? Yeah. Just,
people don't like feeling other people are trying to change them, their routines, their habits, because it feels like an attack on identity.
Yeah.
So if you frame it like that, clears up a lot of things.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about channels, and we're going to be getting more into that, but most of the channels in the whole body graph system are projected. So, like, that's part of a projected channel, as an example. So it was teaching me a lot of lessons about, like, being invited before I share about, like, what I'm seeing, and, like, when this person doesn't recognize my insights about organic food, or because that's really what a lot of the topics were with him. Just stop. I don't need to change anyone. I don't need to influence anyone or condition them. But my 31 does get activated or accessed in the right alignments, and then I can influence in a way that however it's meant to come out.
Right.
But if I try to initiate that or start that or share. So I believe that our parents and our relationship together are perfect. Like, even our childhood trauma, all the things that we felt like, oh, I could never get this from my parents, is because it's helping us to come more into our cross. It's helping us to have way more awareness to be in our truth and our purpose.
Okay.
So
even that level of potential trauma or deep lesson learned is for wisdom in this life.
And that's what everything is.
Right.
At all times. Like, everything is, like, teaching us, showing us, helping us to be in our, like, to point us back to ourself, our authority, and not just, like, a big thing. It's, like, our cross, you know? So we keep, like, avoiding it, or we keep pushing against it.
It might just take a long time to realize that and be able to integrate it. Because a lot of times those are just pushed down for decades until you need to work on them. So that is the true lifelong lesson.
Right.
Correctly remembering and then addressing and integrating and having maintaining a relationship if there's enough drama
there. Yes. That's why I always say, go back to strategy and authority. Yeah. And it's, like, always harped on. And that's why, because that's how you're, you know, that's going to give you the baseline of everything. And then you can start exploring all this stuff with that. So, there's lots more to talk about with relationships. And, you know, we went through the four types of, like, connection or dominance, and how channels operate, and the type with type thing. And not using charts to determine if you should be in a relationship, and just that we're here to have this better awareness. Do your strategy and authority, focus on your not self-centers, and then also notice where you might be trying to homogenize or disapprove or whatever your partner. And are you putting boundaries up when that's happening towards you? So we really need to each come into ourselves and do that with another person if we are in a relationship.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a good part one.
Yes, part one.
Relationships. There's so much more. Like I mentioned at the beginning, sign up for the newsletter if you'd like to be aware of any coming changes, new instructors. And like I mentioned, we will have more information on the release technique, which was so powerful, below, and a potential course and one-on-one coaching at courses.syncretistsociety.com. Stay affirmed of that, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.